Folks, Jesus came to earth because he wanted to help. He wanted to save us from the pain of sin, the problems of living, and the purposelessness that seems to haunt us wherever we go. He didn't come to make us do more. He came so we would have more, more than we ever imagined. He came to this world that makes no sense. He came to don on flesh and blood and all the five senses so he could feel, he could see, he could hear, and take in this world that we call dear. And then in time, die on the cross so he could take us to his world. Tonight or tomorrow, as you open your presents, don't forget that the greatest present of all is God's love for us in Christ.
Thanks for visiting the Point of Hope website. Point of Hope is a community of individuals who realize that life is a process. We welcome the skeptical, the curious, the annoyed, and the seeker because we don't have it all figured out, and we are with you in the search for how God wants to bring completeness to our lives. Now, we join with you in listening to this message.
Our service tonight is going to be focusing on the word peace. And we're going to use that word peace as an acrostic to talk about to let it tell us the story of Christmas. Peace is kind of a rare commodity in today's world, right? And at Christmas time, it seems like with the hustle and bustle of all that goes on, peace is even harder to find than at other times. But then I read the first Christmas. It's not so much about pageantry or design. Unlike Cinderella, there's no gold chariots, there's no grand balls, there's no beautiful palaces. It's a simple story that really keeps the idea of peace unwrapped before us. And so as we go through the service tonight, our prayer for you is that God would warm you, that he would enrich you with his love, and that you would kind of get a more of a sense in your travels and in your interactions with people and struggles and questions that you have, that you would know that God's involved and that you would find his peace. Let's pray. Lord, we know you have come at Christmas to dwell among us, not simply visit, but to stay, to be present with us forever. So we commit this time to you tonight. Amidst our worship and praise, our listening and reflecting, we pray that you fill the manger of our hearts tonight and tomorrow's with your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a tradition in our church that we started a couple years ago, which we have families from our church light the Christmas candles. Tonight we light the candle of peace and the Christmas candle. I invite the Robinsons and the Hollands to come up and light the candles for us.
Candle. Christmas peace. Our Christmas story begins in Luke 2, verse 1. Here, Luke tells us, at about this time, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, decreed that a census Augustus should be taken throughout the nation. The census was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone was required to return to his ancestral home for this registration. And because Joseph was a member of the royal line, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, King David's ancient home. Journeying there from the Galilean village of Nazareth, he took him with Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time.
Christmas brings presents. The Christmas story continues. Luke tells us, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the village inn.
Matthew reaches back into the Old Testament to the prophecies of old, and he trumpets the words of the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is fulfilled in Jesus' birth. Jesus is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is the message of Christmas, folks, that we celebrate this evening. God is not distant, nor is he removed from your life or mine. He's not sterile. He's not endeared, not detached or unsympathetic to you or our cause. He knows what we're going through. No, he has come to be near us. He has come to endear us and re-engineer us. That's the good news of Christmas. He's come to dwell, to stay, and to make his home among us. In John 1, the message reads, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." I like that phrase, "moved into the neighborhood." It means to dwell. God's heart is not just connected with us, but to live with us. not just to talk with us, but be intimately intertwined and interconnected in our life. He has come as a little baby, someone said, for us to draw near, to hold, and not to fear. That is why he came as a child. He's come to not only show us the way, but to be with us all day, all night, all year, always. God wants to be close to us, so why do we seem to run from him? Why do we ignore him? Why do we forget him and question him all the time? God is not us, but he's come among us. God is not the author of evil. No, he's a giver of all that is good. God has come to help and bless us. He stepped into our mess, right? He has come and will endure duress, our duress. He has become less so he can hang out with us at our address. What's more, at Christmas, God doesn't just become one of us. The cool thing is, he becomes least of us. He's born in a manger, not a palace, to say we're all welcome. He's dressed in rags, not Armani, to say that he understands your struggle and mine. He's born to two parents who are ordinary, not royalty, to say status doesn't matter. Come any way you are, come whoever you are. He's born into a rough life rather than a regal, easy life, to say he understands what we're going through. He's come close to help us the most. God has come to Bethlehem, this little tiny village in the outpost or in the corner of the world, to be in our corner. To be our manager, our trainer, our greatest fan in the midst of the boxing match that's called life. He's here to calm us, to give us a place to sit, if you will, and rest. He's here to guide us, to tell us when to bob, jab, and weave. He's here in our corner to give us a cool drink of water and wipe away the sweat off our brows and apply smelling salts to us if we need it. And I know some of us need it because life is trying to deal us a knockout blow. But he's more than that. He's also willing and ready to step in the fight of the opponents we can't beat and win the battle for us. God's come at Christmas to say he wants no distance between us. He's come to remove the roadblocks of sin and shame and sadness. God knows everything about you. And the good news is he loves you anyway. You matter to God. That's what Christmas is all about. He cares about you. I mean, why else would the creator of the universe become not just the creation, but the weakest and most vulnerable of all humankind, a baby? The answer is love. We celebrate Christmas because it is the most significant event in human history. It's when God invaded Earth. Folks, Christmas has always been a big deal. I mean, all history is based on it. B.C. is before Christ. A.D. is after Christ. Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. Christmas literally is when God becomes present. Christmas is literally the time that history is renamed. Let us pray. Lord, help us remember what Christmas is about. It's about your love for us, your desire to draw near to us, to be our friend and our Savior. Help us this Christmas and beyond to make time to be present with you as well, to spend time with you, to seek your peace, to sense your spirit and follow your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christmas brings excitement. The Christmas story continues, as Luke writes, "That night some shepherds were in the fields, outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened, but the angel reassured them, 'Do not be afraid.'"
As they guarded their flocks of sheep that night, a flock of angels appeared with great light. What was an ordinary night, just like the night before and the night before that and the night before that and the month before that and the year before that, now has become an extraordinary once-in-a-lifetime night, a once-in-an-eternity gift. The first Christmas, the angels appeared before the clueless shepherds, telling them of the Lord's tangible presence. They were both excited and scared. They were both confused and elated. Their legs wanted to run, but their eyes and their heart wanted to stay and take in what they were seeing, what they were hearing. The angel's words at first were, "Do not be afraid." Along with their warm presence, a rode of the shepherds' worry and ignited some excitement and joy within them. The shepherds' fear was deflated and their spirits become elated as God rolled back the curtain that separates heaven and earth, so the angels could tell of the Messiah's birth. God has come near. The angels have become visible. The good news has become very voiceable, and the angels are rejoicing. Speaking of rejoicing, joy is the response of kids at Christmas, isn't it? I remember when my daughter Rachel was a little thing, every time at Christmas Eve came, she'd fight, She's going to kill me later, too. She'd fight going to sleep on Christmas Eve. She wanted to stay up. She wanted to see Santa. She wanted to know what the gifts were. And at the crack of dawn, she would be awake. We never set her alarm clock. She just would wake up. And, of course, she'd sneak down, and she'd wake up her brother and sister, and they'd go down because it was party time and present time in their mind. Rachel would look in her stocking, and the kids would go too, and they would separate their presents, and they would shake them, and they'd try to think what was inside of them. After that gleeful raid on the stockings and Christmas tree, inevitably, it was the knock on the door. It was time for Jonah and I to get up. It was Christmas, no time for sleep. Jonah and I would fall out of bed, grab a couple cups of coffee, and down them real quick. And the kids were excited about Christmas. Prior to Christmas, the shepherds' lives were dull, monotonous, routine. You know, it was kind of a gray thing. Each day and each night rolled into the next, like counting boxcars when you're at one of those railroad stops, right? What do? You just count the train. Wait, when is it going to end? Life was familiar. Life was predictable. Life was similar. No trips to Walt Disney World, no new cars, nothing more than shooting stars would separate one day from the next. But all that changed when Christmas came. Christmas brought excitement and enlightenment to the shepherd's dark and predictable life. As Christmas brings excitement to our kids, and Christmas brought excitement and technicolor faith to our shepherds and how they viewed God and what life was. My question to you this night is, how has Christmas changed the way you look at and approach life? Folks, where did we lose the warmth and excitement of Christmas? When did our days and nights become dominoes of blandness and sameness that fall one after another? When did we drift to the mediocrity, the numbness, and the dullness and the monotony that the shepherds lived in until they were rescued by a Christmas angel? Christmas is the gift of joy. It's the gift of hope. It's the gift of meaning. It's the gift of miracle. If Christmas brought a song to the angels and a vibrancy to the shepherds, I'm telling you this Christmas, joy and excitement can come to us. In a world that seems determined to dwell on the bad news, the angels give us good news. We're not forgotten. In fact, we're sought after by God Almighty. We're not anonymous. No, we're priceless treasures in His eyes. Christmas tells us, though the world may seem to be running out of control, God is still in control. Christmas tells us, though the world outside may be cold and treacherous these days, God has come here to show us a blessed new way. Christmas tells us, not only is there life beyond the stars, there is light and love of God underneath them, living in a manger. So have fun this Christmas. Rejoice, sing songs, laugh, share gifts, eat food, cheer for the Chiefs, do all that stuff. But more than anything else, please get excited and be of good cheer. Because as the angel tells us, God has come near. Your Savior is here, we pray. Lord, we ask for joy and laughter. Christmas is not just a good day, but a hopeful new and better way. As the angels appeared, illuminated in the darkness, and brought light, we pray that the joy, the hope, the love, the life the baby Jesus came to bring, and the angels came in concert to sing, would envelop our hearts this night. We are asking for more joy this season and beyond it. Forgive us, Lord, for so often being swayed by the news, by the job blues or political views. Help us, we pray, keep Christ as the anchor, not just of the Christmas, but of the center of our days.
Christmas brings angelic awareness. Luke continues the late evening action of the hills of Judea amidst the shepherds, with an angel announcing these words, "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. How will you recognize him? You will find a baby wrapped in a blanket manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God.
Now, I don't know if you've been following along in Advent, but this is the fourth time the scripture shares how the angels or people are touched by an angel, if you want to say it that way, and they're given a message of hope. But this time is different than the other times, because in all the other times, an angel appears to one person, but this time, the angel appears to a group of shepherds. And it's the only time when the angel is backed by a multitude. A multitude means thousands upon thousands upon thousands of praise-filled heavenly host in all their glory, and they tell Jesus' story. Truth is, there's more angelic activity going on in this time at Christmas than at any time in all history. Pretty cool, huh? No other events come close to this heavenly choir that is joyously inspired. As Jesus arrives, the angel draws near and rejoices in the sky. His goal is to make the shepherds aware of the good news that God does really care, and he's come here. The angel's coming is upbeat and neat. The angels, though, aren't the ones that should receive the glory because they sit at Jesus' feet. The angels don't act on their own accord, but are rather agents of God, servants of God, and who sit on the throne. As Hebrew 1 says, these words, "Are angels not ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who inherit salvation?" Interesting thing there. I guess the angels really are God's servants, but they're here to care for us. Like the Blues Brothers, the angels are on a mission from God. And you're the mission, and I'm the mission. In this case, the shepherds are the mission. It's God that is to be worshipped, not angels. It's God that has the big heart, not the angels. Know what the angels say and what they do is all under the unction and the function of God Almighty. They follow God's direction, are sent by God's instruction to serve and care for us. These servants of God on Christmas Eve make sure that the shepherds don't miss out on Jesus' birth. They came to announce the good news to everyone, including rustic, raunchy-smelling shepherds. I mean, spend a lifetime with sheep. It's not a pretty sight, I'm sure. They were forgotten and demeaned by everyone in their society, but God has not forgotten them. God literally sends the angels not to the heads of state, but to the highways and the byways of the Judean countryside, where some of the most cantankerous, forgotten, and forsaken live and work, a.k.a. the shepherds. God, like in Jesus' parable, do you remember that parable of the great banquet? Invites those on the highways and the byways, on the outskirts, to be the ones that escort his son into the world. God goes to the least, right, with the most of the heavenly host. As God sends his angels to guide and declare the good news, I'm reminded of an ancient Jewish belief, which is that God sends guardian angels over all those that follow him. We all have guardian angels here, friends. We can't see them, but they're here. That was the belief of the Jewish people, and it's backed up by Psalm 91, which says these words, "For God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Like a lifeguard, God sends his angels to watch over us in case a riptide of frustration or a big wave of despair tries to wash over us and capsize our hope or drown out our faith. So if you're feeling alone and powerless this holy night, or just having, a bad day, remember, God's not forgotten you. First, he appointed and sent you a guardian angel that's watching over you every day of your life. And secondly, he sent Jesus, your Savior. True, we can't see Jesus, nor can we see these guardian angels, but the good news is they can see us. In case you're an angel skeptic, I want you to know that you're in the minority. According to a CNN poll revealed that 69% of all Americans believe that angels do exist, and a third of those that were polled say they had felt an angelic presence in their life at some time. I wonder, if we believe in angels, why is it so hard to believe in the one that they take orders from? As the angels clue the shepherds in on God's redemptive plan this Christmas, truth is, this Christmas we're reminded that the guardian angels have been sent to clue us also on God's plan for our life every day. They are deployed to protect us, to fight for us, to guide us, and reveal God's light to us. So on dark, lonely nights, don't give way to fright, but be comforted knowing that you are surrounded by God's guardian might. And make haste to God's manger where God has come to win redemption's fight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for not forgetting the shepherds and nor forgetting us. You see us and you love us. You guide us and you protect us. Truth is, we are never alone. Not only do you live in sight of us, but your angels live and walk among us as we walk through life's race. This Christmas, we thank you for continued mercy and abundant, unending grace. Amen. God uses all of our talents, whether you're in the tech room or you're playing in the band or you're passing out bulletins or you're dancing. God wants to use all of our gifts for his glory. And that's why we're here tonight, to give him glory, right? Speaking of which, we now receive the offering, and we thank God for the way he's working in his life, and indeed that he has come at Christmas. Every Christmas we've always done this Christmas creed. Thanks, Larry. And I invite you to rise in confession. We're going to basically confess the... We're going to confess the Christ of Christmas. We rise. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who sent his Son as my Savior on Christmas Day. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer and die and rise again, to free me from sin, death, and the power of the devil. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in the Christ of Christmas, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I'm ever led to lay before the feet of Christ the treasure of my love, and live under him as my King, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.
Christmas brings contentment. We continue with our Christmas story as the action moves from the angels to the shepherds. Luke writes, "When this great army of angels had returned again to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They ran to the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger."
As the heavenly hosts depart, the shepherds determine to make a midnight start. Their feet move toward the stable. The fear is moved away. The worry was morphed into wonder. They are no longer afraid, but are excited. Quite a transformation from what first happened. They are no longer considering the angel's words. No, they embrace them and they race to Bethlehem with grace, which graces them. There is no walking, Luke tells us. This is interesting. He says they ran. Only running is happening. The shepherds drop their staffs and put on their Nikes and make a glad dash, not a mad dash, but a glad dash to the manger. Think about all they left behind. Their job, their investment was the sheep. Their comfort, everything that they knew and was comfortable. Their sleep, they did all this with such abandonment. They didn't even think about it. All to see this great, glorious bundle of joy cradled in a manger in their parents' arms. We don't know what was going on at the time. It seems like this is not a difficult choice for the shepherds at all. It's a no-brainer. Jesus was worth more than the effort, more than the cost. Yes, to the shepherds, Jesus was more than enough. To be honest, I don't always think that way, do you? Like the kids who fell asleep on that night before Christmas with sugar plums dancing in their heads, isn't it true that so many things dance and dangle for our attention, our effort, our heart, our hope, our peace? There's that shiny new car, that fantastic trip to Hawaii, that possibility of the Chiefs going all the way and winning Super Bowl 51, I believe. Is that bulging 401k, and the list goes on and on and on, and worry and our energy and our peace go along with that stuff. But truth is, these things that the world offers, as great and grand, only bring truly grit and endless grind to us. So many things offer so much, but only one thing the baby Jesus at Christmas delivers. Only Jesus can give us true peace. Only Jesus can give us lasting hope. Only Jesus can give us unconditional acceptance no matter what. Only Jesus can give us a future that is bright, that is light, and that is more than all right. In John 14, Jesus, who is a grown man at the time, offers these words. He says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You know, truth is, as I talk to people, and I talk to people, and they talk to me, it's crazy how it's happening. I sense so much fear, so much struggle, so much hurt, so much anxiety in our world today. Would you agree? Just the last few days, I've talked to people who unsolicitedly shared their heavy heart and overwhelming story to me, and it almost made me cry. Their stories brought tears to my eyes and a deep sadness to my heart. Really bad stuff they were struggling with. Folks, Jesus came to earth because he wanted to help. He wanted to save us from the pain of sin, the problems of living, and the purposelessness that seems to haunt us wherever we go. He didn't come to make us do more. He came so we would have more than we ever imagined. He came to this world that makes no sense. He came to don on flesh and blood and all the five senses so he could feel, he could see, he could hear, and take in this world that we call dear. And then in time, die on the cross so he could take us to his world. Tonight or tomorrow, as you open your presents, don't forget that the greatest present of all is God's love for us in Christ. It's a gift that doesn't dim, it doesn't tarnish, it doesn't fade. It doesn't lose its luster. No, quite the opposite. The truth is, it grows brighter, right? It grows stronger and bigger with each passing day if we hold on to it. Jesus promised these words in Matthew 28, right before he left. He said, "Lo, I am with you always." Do you catch that? "Lo, I am with you always." He's always with us. And he adds this promise after it. He says, "To the close of the age, forever and ever and ever." So let's join the shepherds in running and kneeling at the manger where true contentment can only be found. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, the picture of the first Christmas is so peaceful, so simple. Mary and Joseph are content with a place to sleep for the night and a healthy baby boy in the open air of night. Baby Jesus is snuggled and warm, wrapped in swaddling clothes, asleep. The journey from heaven to earth is complete. And by your grace, the shepherds take it in, kneeling at Jesus' feet. Forgive us for running after the wrong things or in the wrong direction, away from you and away from your peace. Help us, we pray, to run to you rather than from you in the days ahead. Help us be content with what we have and give us the courage to make Jesus our greatest treasure. Amen.
Christmas brings eternal life. Luke closes out the Christmas story with these words. The shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story expressed astonishment, but Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and often thought about them. Then the shepherds went back again to their fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels, and because they had seen the child just as the angels had told them.
I see three residuals, three gifts that Christmas brings. The first is seen in the joy that comes when you bend the knee in of faith to Jesus Christ as your Lord. The shepherds not only heard the good news, but they worshiped the baby God as their Savior and Lord. Now Romans 10 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hearing the good news of Christmas has to turn into cherishing and treasuring Jesus, the gift of Christmas, the Savior of Christmas. Faith is not simply a belief either. What it is a life-giving, transforming relationship with the Almighty. We give Jesus our trust, and he gives us the gifts of hope, joy, love, and peace. As they travel to the manger, God transmits his grace to the shepherds. Not only do the shepherds experience a new relationship with God that they've never had before, they share the news with everyone they encounter as they make their way back to where they came from. Their joy brought others more joy. Their hope gives others hope. Their faith began to give others faith. As the shepherds journey away from the manger, they do so with joy. My hope is that the same is for you this night. Mary, we're told, journals all this stuff, everything she's heard and she's seen deep in her heart. Already her miraculous boy, who's only hours old, is causing miraculous change in the hearts and the lives of others. I wonder, folks, what do you really treasure? I mean, God knows, and I think you might know. It's time to name that. I believe these days there is a spiritual war raging in the hearts and the minds of people over what the greatest treasure in life is. For Mary, it's Jesus. Who is it for you? Is it money? Is it looks? Is it family? Is it vacations? Is it a career? Is it experiences? Is it a bulging 401k? Or is it something else? Is it something deeper? Something sweeter? Something simpler? Something much better? Truth is, all these things I've mentioned that this earth values will fade and degrade. No, the one thing that will last tomorrow, next year, and next millennia is Jesus. I've been honored to be with many people as they approach the end of life, and I was with one just yesterday. There's one realization that death brings to everyone, which is this, that you can't take earth's treasures, travels, and trinkets with you. No, when our time on earth passes, everything we own lapses. I mean, everything but Jesus, who's not only our baby king, but the Savior of the world. For this baby king will grow as we read on in Luke. He will grow to be a man who will take on our sin to the cross, which we have there, and 3 days later be reborn. this time not from a womb, but from a sealed tomb. Jesus, who is born this day, will defeat death and will be resurrected 33 years after this day, so that you and I could spend eternity with him. Can I get an amen? Cool. You're my poem now. The third truth or story that I think we need to hold on to is the shepherds, after the encounter and are changed by Jesus, they really don't start a new life. No, they went back to their old life, but with a new attitude, with a new awareness. They weren't just raising sheep anymore. They were also raising praise to God. So often I think we try to run from our life. Are you like that? Whether it's in our head, a new relationship and a drink, or a weekend getaway, folks, you won't find peace out there until you find peace in here. Truth is, each of us have a God-sized hole in our heart that only God can fill. Nothing else can fill it. Some of you have tried. If there's any emptiness in your heart, an unmet need, a restlessness, an unexplained fear, an unrelenting question that won't go away, or a deep sadness, why don't you take it to the manger? Give it to this newborn king. Though his shoulders are small, they can handle it, because he wants to give you the peace that I've come to know. In Matthew 11, Jesus, again, the grown man, before he went to the cross, gave this invitation that's available to you this Christmas night. He says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You see, the greatest gift of Christmas is the gift of eternal rest, eternal peace that only he can bring. Can I pray with you, please? Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come together this night, looking for all kinds of things, help us to always remember the answer is right in front of me. It's Jesus. Forgive us for running after all kinds of stuff, forgiving for ignoring the baby Jesus. And thank you for giving us the humility and the awareness this night to remember that he is the Savior and King. Lord, we ask that you take the throne of our hearts this day, that you invade all the dark places of our world with the light of Christ, that you build a bridge of all nations, that the war would stop and that the peace of Christ would rule all hearts and minds. I pray that you strengthen all families, all marriages, and all countries, that they would all be built upon this manger, upon that cross, and they might find a new way through the open tomb. Thank you again for coming at Christmas, for reminding us that life isn't ending, it's just beginning in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that the message met with your needs today. The community of believers at Point of Hope would be blessed if you would care to visit with us. You will find our address and phone number on the contact page of this website, which is www.pointofhope.org. If you have a particular need for prayer or need to know more about Point of Hope, send your prayer need or request for more information on the appropriate contact page.